This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. It can be easy to be overwhelmed by news about climate change. Just last month, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration said our planet has the most carbon dioxide it has ever had since humans walked the Earth. The U.S. wildfire season continues to grow longer and harsher, and other extreme weather events are getting more common. Again, it can be overwhelming to take in, but our next guest says we don't have to give in to despair or to apathy, and one of the most important climate sciences might just be psychology. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you sometimes feel overwhelmed by environmental and climate change news? What do you do to get over that, if anything? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Renee Lertzman is a climate psychologist and founder of Project Inside Out. She's author of the book Environmental Melancholia, Psychoanalytic Dimensions of Engagement, that draws in part from research she did in Green Bay. Renee, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Hi, I'm very glad to be here with you.
A common response, I think, to climate change, and you've talked about this in TED Talks and elsewhere, can be despair, apathy, denial. What approaches from psychology do you see that can help us work through some of those and take positive action?
Right. Yeah. Well, you named it in your introduction. It's very easy to feel overwhelmed, and it's easy to feel a whole variety of experiences and responses. What I've found over the years is there's actually so much that we can learn and draw from in psychology. So this intersection of kind of where psychology meets climate crisis and environmental issues is just starting to really kind of come together for a lot of people as the anxiety and the kind of the feelings come up more and more. And what I have found to be actually incredibly empowering is recognizing a few things that we now know from psychology. And one of them is that it starts with really honoring and appreciating whatever your experience is. So we want to just start with that baseline of, if I'm feeling overwhelmed, or if I'm feeling angry, or I'm feeling inspired, or I'm feeling motivated, whatever that is, that in itself makes sense. You know, you make sense, it makes sense. These are really big issues. These are complex, they're systemic, and they are going to bring up different feelings for different people in different circumstances and contexts. And so what we know from the psychological research world is that when we turn towards our experience from that place of, yeah, you know, this is what's happening for me, I'm feeling this way, with real acceptance and real understanding, then it's kind of amazing, because then we're actually able to move through it and navigate it much more easily than, say, telling ourselves, oh, what's wrong with me? I shouldn't be feeling this way. I'm weak. I'm a downer. I'm negative. I'm this, I'm that. And we can fall into that sort of self-talk, which actually is not helpful. And it takes us down a path where paradoxically we become almost more mired in that place of sort of a, it's a bit of a spiral.
How do we break out of that kind of self-talk?
Well, we start with being able to acknowledge it, like practicing the ability to notice and pay attention to what it is that we're feeling. And that practice of what Tara Brach, for example, the writer and Buddhist, talks about, radical acceptance, you know, like really coming from that place of turning towards oneself, maybe taking a few moments, you know, doing what you need to do to kind of remind yourself, like, okay, you know, this is what's up for me. But what's also really important is to recognize this isn't an individual problem, that, you know, I work around the world, I work with groups and organizations, you know, all around the globe. And I can tell you that many, many, many people are experiencing very similar things. And we may not be talking about it, we may not be open about it. I found that it's actually a very radical, powerful act to begin to have these conversations with each other, and to really just start sharing, you know, this is what's happening for me, or this is what I'm worried about, or what I'm concerned about. What is your experience? And then it helps us really move through that spiral.
That's how to break out of self-talk. Another thing you think a lot about is a situation where person A feels really strongly, is really worried about climate change, and is wondering why everyone around them seems to be so listless and apathetic and uncaring about it. Well, the way I framed it just now, you say may not be the best way to frame it.
Well, so first, it's very normal and natural to feel that way. So right off the bat, you know, I don't know anyone who, you know, who's paying attention and sensitive and tracking what's happening doesn't have some aspect of that experience of waking up and looking around and basically saying, what the heck, like, what is wrong with you? Wake up. We got to do something now. So that's a very normal and natural response to have. But we need to be able to move past that place, because that's actually really counterproductive in terms of our, if we want to actually be effective. And so, so a couple of things. One is, you know, the body of work that I've been working, you know, developing over a couple of decades, it actually started when I was doing my field work in Green Bay, Wisconsin. So it's meaningful for me to be on this show and to be talking with folks in Wisconsin. And what I was doing was spending time in Green Bay, having conversations with all kinds of people about the environment, about climate, and about the water, about the Great Lakes, and about the Fox River and the Green Bay. And what I found in having these conversations and really listening to people closely is that I couldn't really, I didn't meet a single person who literally didn't care, right? So what I found is that what's happening more often is that people are going through a lot of very complicated responses to what is happening, and have ways of coping with that and have ways of dealing with that. And that may look like not caring. It may look like what we would call apathy or tuning out, or even outright hostility. That actually, these are really big issues that for a lot of people are really hard to process. And so this idea of the myth of apathy kind of took hold when I was spending time in Green Bay, which has really carried through a lot of what I've been doing over the past several years. And going back to your prompt about that tendency to want to kind of turn towards people and shake them and just feel really frustrated, and that's not always productive. The way I talk about that now is that we have a tendency to feel like we have to either educate, give people more information, or we feel like we have to be cheerleaders and try to be really positive and upbeat. Or we might feel like we have to be righting, R-I-G-H-T, which is the moralizing, preaching, like, this is why this is the right thing to do, and sort of, you know, come at people that way. When in actuality, going back to psychology, and especially the field of motivational interviewing in the public health sector, is that we are generally more open and responsive when we're feeling listened to, and when we feel that there's partnership and guiding. And so I spend a lot of my time talking about guiding. What does it mean to be a guide, you know, who cares deeply about what's happening with the climate, with the planet, and being more thoughtful about the tendency to write, educate, or cheerlead, which is what you were describing there. And it's actually really hard to do. It's a practice. It takes time. But the first step is actually the self-awareness to be able to reflect and consider, oh, okay, well, what is my tendency and how are people experiencing me? And then the other part of that is, how do I manage my own emotional reaction so that I can show up in a way that's, you know, maybe more of a guide and less of a educator, cheerleader, or writer.
Talking to Renee Lertzman, a climate psychologist, founder of Project Inside Out, talking about how to talk about complicated issues like climate change. Renee, can you talk some more about how to open that kind of conversation? It's not me and you arguing or yelling at each other or one-upping one another with our virtue. How do we have that kind of honest and, I guess, empathetic conversation?
Exactly. So I take my cue from what I've learned, especially in motivational interviewing, which is the practice of coming at these conversations from a place of inquiry, of compassion, and a seeking to understand, which is actually really hard when the stakes are high and we're maybe triggered or we have very strong feelings. It's very hard to do that, but it's absolutely possible to do that, especially with, again, self-awareness and practice. But when I'm t you know approaching interactions, conversations with people who might be in very different places around this, I start with asking first, what is your experience? Like, what are you noticing? What are you thinking about? Where are you at with this, right? So I don't lead with, this is what I care about. What do you think? Do you agree with me or not? I start with, hey, I'm really curious. Like, where are you at with this? What's your experience been? And so that's number one, is coming from that place of curiosity, seeking to understand what people may already know and not know. And then the next part of that is reflecting back what you hear being said. So reflective listening, to basically say, so you this, that, reflecting without correcting, educating, kind of trying to change the person, you're just reflecting back. And it's amazing if you take just a few minutes of doing this, it really helps establish some trust and just a sense of, people can kind of relax a little bit more. It's like, okay, this is safe. I'm not going to be attacked. I'm not going to be shamed. This person is going to tell me what's wrong with me. It's really okay for me to be where I am with this. So that's the second part. The third really important part is to ask for some kind of permission before offering your perspective or more information. So for example, I would say, I would ask some open-ended questions. What's your experience? What have you noticed? Where are you at with this? What troubles you? What doesn't? And then I would reflect back what I heard. And then I would basically say, would you be open to hearing where I'm at with this? Or would you be open, or is it okay if I tell you some things I've learned recently that have really gotten my attention? It's just a way of kind of asking permission. And that's another thing that's really key in motivational interviewing, is ask for permission before you offer. And so then the person can either say yes or no. And usually people will say yes because we see ourselves as generally open people, open-minded. And so that in itself is really powerful, because I'm hearing myself basically say, yes, I'm open, even if I might be feeling kind of mixed about it. And then it gives, me, a climate concerned person, that ability to go into this territory and then to can ch check in and say, so where are you at? How is this landing with what I'm saying? So it's an actual conversation. You're not trying to pitch, persuade, motivate, change, anyone. You're really seeking to have a conversation. And paradoxically, that is what shifts people most, is having a really good, substantial, respectful conversation.
And we'll leave it there, Renee. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
That's Renee Lertzman, climate psychologist, founder of Project Inside Out, also author of Environmental Melancholia, inspired in part, as you heard, by her work in Green Bay.